remote viewer trained by Ed Dames, who, by the way, hates him. Well, that's not fair. He doesn't hate him. He says he's crazy. He's an expert within the field of non-historical data. To prepare for this, he spent 3 years in total seclusion, remote viewing, PI, in parentheses, TT. As a consequence thereof, he has developed the ability to accurately remote view numbers, a skill that has allowed him to successfully and consistently win the lottery. His current groundbreaking work is focused upon the study and manipulation of particular numerical trends within specific world markets. Aaron is a certified remote viewing instructor who has recently appeared on TV Asahi in Japan and the Sci-Fi Channel here in Search Of, you know, the Search Of series. He'll also appear briefly in the new movie Suspect Zero, starring Sir Ben Kingsley, Aaron Eckhart, and Carrie Ann Moss of The Matrix. So here he is, Aaron Donahue. Aaron, welcome to the program.
So glad to be here. It's an honor and a privilege to be with the legendary Art Bell.
I wish people would stop calling me a legend.
You are. You're the best. You're a total hero.
Well, that's kind of you to say, but it makes me feel really old. And in fact, I just got not nominated. I'm going to be inducted into the Nevada Broadcasters Hall of Fame in August. I just got that word, you know, like a couple of days ago. And that's like being called legend. Lately, when people have been writing newspaper articles about me, they've been using that word, and it gives me the heebie-jeebies.
Well, you have certainly reached the dark side here, and you are deeply respected from the dark side, by the way.
Great news. All right, we're not going to spend a lot of time on this, but so that we're all clear on what a Luciferian is, please. What is a Luciferian?
First of all, we differ from the Satanists. Satan is a concept. It's not an actual entity. Lucifer is an entity, or the progenitor of the human race. In our mythology, the Earth is our mother. We're born of the primordial soup. And Lucifer is an alien that genetically manipulated the human being from a primate to what we are today. We build monuments. Animals don't, even though we have some animals that are smarter than we are, humpback whale. Yet we have the power to destroy our nature, destroy our environment through choice, and it's our job to evolve. As a Luciferian, we're on the pathway of spiritual and psychological evolution. This is our premise. This is the very core of what we do in our work.
All right. So Lucifer, and by the way, you agree with Ed Dames on that with regard to the entity aspect of it. Ed Dames remote viewed Lucifer, and also referred to him as an entity. That's interesting. Why does Ed think you're crazy?
Well, you know, the genius is perceived as crazy. Our ideas are perceived as crazy simply because they don't understand us. That's as simple as I can explain it. Ed is simply not a genius. He doesn't understand. He often employs the genius, but when you get someone who's way out there, such as I am, well, this is a convenient label when I make him look bad because my work is better than any of his work, any of his students' work, or any work that he could do. I'm the very best in the world at what I do, and I would like to change that. I would like to have students who are better than me. My philosophy is that, you know, as a good teacher, I'll have people that outdo me, and so we have young lions coming up that'll eventually take over, and I'll step aside. Ed Dames hasn't stepped aside for the young lion.
That's true. No, that's true. And I guess that would be the hope of every master, that he could teach so successfully to have somebody surpass him, of course.
Yes. And I've long surpassed them, and I don't care about the acknowledgement. Just he has to step aside and let the young lion take over.
All right. To be clear, Lucifer, then, is the one who genetically manipulated whatever came before modern man, and we have Lucifer, then, to thank for who we are today.
Well, a lot of people would think that we're to thank him for all the mess we're in. Actually, I blame the angel for the mess we're in. The angel is a spiritual parasite that started invading the body of women third trimester over 3,000 years ago. Today, we love the angel. We don't love each other. Mankind has forgotten how to love itself. It loves now the angel only, the angel first, and the angel calls itself God. There are four archangels in four main religions on this planet. And when you worship Christ today, you're not worshiping Christ as it was originally. Christ was a genetically manipulated being, and that relates to a time machine we're going to talk about later on. But Buddha was a genetically manipulated being, Muhammad as well. Those of the Axe Age, you see. Now, the thing is, when you worship Christ today, you're worshiping the angel within.
So are you suggesting that all of the great masters were, in fact, genetically manipulated to be so?
You bet they are. And that relates to something shocking I'm going to reveal to everyone tonight for the first time ever.
Oh?
Yes.
Reveal away.
Well, this concerns a time machine. Now, I do all of my work blind. What I do is I have other people who randomly select subjects, write them down, and seal them in envelopes. I do my best to make sure I have no contact with those people. These envelopes are given to me. I have hundreds of them. And I've gone through at least 2,000 of these envelopes already. So all of my work is done totally blind as a remote viewer in the old days. Today, I use a new technique. Remote viewing is dead because I've replaced something far more efficient. And I use something called TAN, the Practical Application of Non-Historical Data, which employs historical information systems as well. And now, when I do this, I extrapolate information outside of normal awareness, of course, and it's so accurate that I can actually consistently win lottery using this technology.
All right, now, backing up a little bit, the envelope, the whole envelope thing is traditional.
Yes, it is.
Traditional remote viewing.
You bet it is.
A target number is assigned by somebody to whatever it is they want described, correct? And then they hand the envelope or whatever, or have the envelope, and you go to work on whatever it is. That
I have no idea what it is.
And so in what way is what you're doing now different?
Yes, this is a base. Remote viewing, you have to remember, is a base program. We have base programs in computer technology, and that we advance into more sophisticated, more useful programs. We make things more efficient with time.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what TAN is. TAN is a rung on the spiritual ladder. It's a source of information that takes you into the higher levels of truth, and there are four levels of truth. Remote viewing will barely get you into the first level of truth. PAN will allow you into the second level and sometimes the third level of truth. There are four levels.
Does PAN have the same kind of strict, oversight in a way? In other words, is there a way to have oversight on what you're doing with PAN?
Very strict. We have a strict set of protocols, which are a lot different than the protocols you'd find in remote viewing. These protocols cannot be broken so easily as they are in remote viewing. Now, these protocols, what they do is they allow you to work faster, more efficiently. Because you see, I'm talking to you about something, my mind is thinking much faster than I can speak.
Right.
That often presents a problem. When you're reading something, you're really bogged down. Now, with remote viewing, this is the analogy. Remote viewing has a set of protocols which hold you back. It allows imagination, and when you're doing the analysis of your work, it allows more problems to enter into the arena of analysis and your data. So what you want to do is you want to speed things up, and that's where we have PAN. You're going as fast as you can go, and you're getting more and more information outside of normal awareness. We have this ritual, of course, that is similar to that of, say, throwing your consciousness a bone. Here, go fetch. Get it out of the way. If your consciousness is busy, then the important things can happen. I realize that's a simple way of explaining this, but we have a soundbite. We have to deal with this.
Well, I know we've got a lot of time. This is long-form talk radio. Now, in traditional remote viewing, you want to keep your ego out of the whole mix and your imagination. How does PAN additionally do this? It's a big problem.
Well, yes, it's always a problem no matter what. And even PAN itself is a very low rung on the spiritual ladder. There are higher rungs. We have more work to do. This must be developed. That's what's exciting about this. Remote viewing is the old way. PAN is the new way. There'll be something to replace this. Ego is still there. We couldn't survive without ego. However, the new way to survive is going to be right brain functioning. This allows you to leak more into right brain functioning. And by the way, prophecy. You're getting closer into exercising the prophetic area of the human brain. Prophecy is not psychic functioning. Psychics cannot see a future. Only prophets can, and these are two distinct areas of the brain. You see, your brain is like a muscle. You exercise this area if you're conscious of it, and you work with it, you can become tuned into it and use it and become proficient. You can be a mental athlete. You can become a psychic athlete and a prophetic athlete if you exercise these areas of the brain. I do this 3 times a day on a daily basis. I live, breathe, and eat and sleep psychic functioning and prophecy. So I exercise the prophetic area of my brain, which deals with non-historical systems of information, or PAN. PAN incorporates both historical, which is remote viewing, and non-historical. Remote viewers cannot see the future very well because they don't understand. There's a difference between the prophetic area of the brain and the psychic functioning areas of the brain,
okay,
which, by the way, often when you enter that global brain field of 42 to 45 hertz, that's when you begin to get into the area of PAN. Now, I'm lucky because I have technology that I can use biofeedback and map myself while I'm doing this. But you can do it on your own with proper training. And right now, we have a select group of students who we are training. And we're going to bring them into the arena of numbers. And believe me, once I have my 7 people, one for each number and an extra person in case someone is feeling ill or something, then we're going to be hitting World Lottery. I'm going to become the first billionaire to crack lottery systems. Already I'm getting rich. I'm going to become the first billionaire to do this.
One, somebody's going to kill you.
Well, I know. Ed Dame says that just because he hates me so much. Well,
no,
here's the
Ed,
thing.
I said that. I never heard Ed say that. I just know that if you start hitting lotteries one after another,
yeah,
you're a dead man.
I know Ed, and I've heard him say that.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. That was me.
Yeah. And also, I heard that you had said it on a previous show, so I'm just sort of adding extra punch.
Well, it's a natural line. I mean, come on. If you hit lottery after lottery, somebody's going to come after you for sure.
No, and no, they won't. In fact, the way to explain this is that right now, people who study world markets are entering in a phase of chaos. These old formulas that we're using, there's a Nobel Prize winner that really helped recently, John Nash, Nobel Prize winner, was the person who really helped us understand chaotic systems, how to invest properly and so on, how to look for stability in world markets as they change. Now, I have, I'm a mathematical nut. I'm really into mathematics, and so I have a group of formulas that I use to extrapolate probabilities in terms of a future, in terms of PAN. Now, I can apply that to world markets, to any market system, and I can accurately find numbers. Does that mean I'm a threat to world markets, or am I a friend? Actually, no. I'm a friend, because as we enter the phase of chaos, see, this is a way of riding the waves of chaos, of accepting it in order to be free from it. This is the way in which we can isolate order within chaotic world market systems. Because of my discoveries, we will be able to keep the markets healthy and active for many years to come. Some people have said these markets are going to crash. I tell you, I have proof, living proof right now, my formulas, that world market is not going to crash. We're going to keep it healthy and keep it going, because if it crashes, children, people, their livelihoods are going to fall apart, and we do not want any more suffering on this planet.
No, we don't. Yeah, so what you're saying is not irrational exuberance.
No, I have proof. I have proof of which I'm talking about. In fact, if anyone wants to go to my website at ummo.cc and you click into my perspectives, that will be my blog, and at the very top, you're going to see proof for 11 days in a row. I did this just for your show, Art.
Yes.
For 11 days in a row. I posted numbers. Now, to keep things safe, I encoded these numbers so people cannot abuse this and wipe out lotteries. They will do that.
Okay, you encoded the numbers. So how do we know that that the numbers...
I'm going to answer. I released the... sorry to cut you off.
That's all right.
Not good, Art.
That's all right. Don't worry
I released the actual... formula to debug this, to decode it.
Okay.
The formula is one formula, not two. And when you plug it in, you realize, whoa, this guy really did do it for 11 days in a row.
So you're claiming you hit a lottery or lotteries 11 days in a row.
That's correct. And recently I did it in Japan for 10 days in a row.
In Japan?
Yes. In Japan. In other words, I'm doing it from a remote location. In this case, California, over 3,000 miles away. I hit 11 lotteries in a row, a specific lottery. Now, here's the interesting thing.
You're a dead man.
I've already been dead, so I'm really kind of looking forward to going back home, if you know what I mean. However, I want to live as long as I can because I know how precious life is.
By the way, when you do pass on, what's your expectation about your, port?
Are you speaking about what we perceive of the soul, the one soul we all share, or are you talking about the light at the end when you see...
Well, I'm not sure in your case what I'm talking about.
Well, I can tell you this. At the time of my near-death experience, I was a Satanist.
I'll tell you what. Oh, you were? That's a good play. I got a break. I've got to do a break. Whenever I get into a very interesting guest, I blow off my break, so hang tough. I'll be right back. Never fails. I get into a topic I really want to talk about, and I blow off my brakes, and so we only have time before the next one to ask you about. You said you were a Satanist.
Yes. In fact, I was really into it. And by the way, I didn't leave this type of belief system simply because, if you can call it that. My dear Satanist friends, please don't become upset with me. I'm using the language that most Christians, and this is a Christian nation, I'm talking to Christians.
Yes.
Yeah, largely. So I'm using their vernacular, the language, to communicate this. But here's the thing. I experienced death full on. It's gone for some 15 minutes. I'm allergic to penicillin. You know,
oh.
Some people just go out. I went in anaphylactic shock, stopped breathing, my heart, whole thing is terrible. Now, the thing is, when I experienced this death, prior to this, I've been exploring irony of life. I've been exploring death, and you know, it was my primal fear. You always get that which you fear the most. It comes right at you. If you fear something, you've got something to learn. Fear is a great, great teacher. If you fear something, that's exactly what you need to do. And I knew it. I didn't really want to do this. I couldn't figure out how to do this, but I was exploring the idea of death to overcome my fear, to face it, to learn something from it. And what I had learned from death had changed my life forever. You see,
and that was
I was in the process of being initiated. My mentor, who came all the way from, he's Scottish Rite. This is somebody from England. Now, the England side of Freemasonry is the occult side of Freemasonry. The American side, the United States here in the West, we're sort of a country club for business people making connections and so on, which is okay. But on the other side, you see, I was in the process of being initiated, and I had to make a choice. Between love or the world, you see.
Love or the world.
That's correct. And that was the initiation I was involved with before entering Third Order. Now, what's interesting is this is the new order for the world.
And you chose the world.
I chose love.
Oh, you did.
Right.
You did.
I gave up. I was interested in psychological, neuroimmune, endocrinology, and of course, with my brain, I could pass any test. The thing is, I was heading into medical school, one of the best, and this man was going to help me get into Harvard.
Silly me thought love was always connected with, you know, the big one, God, Jesus.
Of course. I wouldn't, all Luciferians choose love over the world. You couldn't be a Luciferian if that wasn't your choice in life, period.
Hmm.
Now, the difference between a Satanist and a Luciferian is fundamental in that respect.
Once again, the man who chose love, here's Aaron. Aaron, I want to go back to this just for a second because it's very, very important for your credibility. You're telling me that you chose, I think it was 10 lotteries, and prior to the lottery, a very important point, you encoded the winning numbers, and then after the lotteries were done, you put the formula up to decode the numbers, and people can go to your website and confirm that, in fact, you hit these lotteries, yes?
That is correct. Absolutely correct. And there's a record of the numbers being posted, in which, by the way, I have four witnesses at the time who have observed this, photographed this, have a record of this in their computer, on their desktop, as I'm speaking now.
Okay.
And every day that the lottery number had been posted, they were to, of course, document this. I'm doing this from 3,000 miles away. Now, what happens is, as well as my website, you can go into the blog history, which is right there. Go under Perspectives and look at that front page that I have posted for your show tonight.
Mm-hmm.
You'll see numbers that I had posted the previous lottery for the California Daily 3. And it's very easy. Get out your calculators and start punching in that formula, and you'll see that, in fact, these numbers, which are listed always in order of probability, sometimes all the numbers relate, but I only pick the first number and sometimes the second number. We want to beat the odds. That's the point of it. But in this case, a perfect, absolute, undeniable hit. Every single number.
It's impressive.
11 days in a row.
Impressive.
Yes.
All right. Look, I am really, really interested in time travel. I've always been very interested in time travel. You're claiming what about a time machine? Are you claiming that you have somehow deciphered the plans for a machine, or what?
Absolutely. Now, there are two, remember Nikola Tesla spoke about, so it's been rumored. Now, I have a document that was supposed to be written by Tesla, paid a lot of money for this. I haven't have verified if it's actually his work. As soon as I do, then I can confirm this 100%, but I'm 99% on this. Tesla often thought about somehow angels or something like that giving him this information, and he had the base knowledge, he had the lexicon, he could go ahead as an engineer and create this stuff, but the stuff that he was given was almost preter human intelligence. It was something that was beyond something he could even imagine. So this is something that you might say has happened to me. My experience as a result of years and years of remote viewing and now using PAN and being intensely interested in time travel myself and alien, I'm interested in those UFOs in the sky, and I have seen them all my life. I know they're real. And I can prove to anyone who's with me that they are real, because there are certain vibrations in our rituals that we use to bring these craft in view. That's why this is just the beginning of the revelation art. We're going to be releasing information about this, and this is how contact happens. You have to do the work to make contact happen. We know the rituals. These rituals are being explored right now. If the right vibrational energy, the right state of mind, they can hear from the other dimension, and they respond and they appear. Contact is the second level to this, and we're heading into the Fatima side of this, or contact. When I remote viewed Fatima, I found the secret of contact. And the fact that that's not the Pope being shot there, that's the genetic key that makes contact happen. There's an assassination attempt on that person who tries to bring contact into fruition.
I would imagine that, yes.
Yes, and that's what Fatima was, the vision of that. Because if that man is killed, the hope of the world is gone. But they will call that man evil. Now, this relates, by the way, to the time machine and to the Hopi, the Fire Clan tablet. This relates to Aleister Crowley's secret code in Liber Alba Legis, which I was the first to crack.
All right, you've lost me a little bit. Where did the plans actually came from? An individual
entity.
Who claimed, from an entity.
That is correct. Now, I'm very careful here. I'm telling this before millions of people on your show. Here's the thing. It's not something you just want to say lightly or just sort of willing, oh, by the way, an alien talked to me and told me this.
Yeah.
People totally think you're crazy.
They totally do, yes.
Yes. But those of us who have seen and experienced UFO, we can't explain it.
Well, look, I'll say this. There was a guy out here in Pahrump, Nevada. He ultimately went into Las Vegas, and he claimed that he could produce UFOs just by going out and, I don't know, thinking about it or drawing them in. And let me tell you something. He went into one of the main three network channels in Las Vegas. I can't recall which one. It might have been 13, ABC. And they went out with a camera, and by God, this guy brought down a UFO.
I panned it. I looked at it. Channel 13, his name was Prophet.
Oh.
Dot, dot, dot. Prophet Yahweh.
Yeah.
Prophet Yahweh. It was a hoax.
Well,
he didn't know it. It was played on Prophet Yahweh. He didn't know it. There was a hoax played on him.
Well, I don't know.
I know the people who did that, and I warned them not to ever do it again.
I don't know.
This isn't funny.
I don't know about the hoax thing. That thing looked awfully high and awfully...
Yeah, actually, I do know the hoax, and I'm going to tell you.
Well, tell me.
I don't want to say too much. We just should drop the subject because there's a technology that will make you think UFOs, that sort of thing is real. They're not supposed to be doing that.
All right.
That was a hoax, as I had said on my show after that happened, that this would never happen. I have the Voice of Lucifer show that I look at stuff like this and examine it, and I reveal what is behind it and who did it. So we have somewhat of a confirmation. And as I said, that would never happen again, and it didn't, because it was a hoax. We know who did it. I know how that's done.
You do.
The right technology, I could do it myself. I don't have that kind of money right now, Art. Intent.
So that takes a lot of money.
And
without telling us who did it, can you tell us how they did it?
No, Art. No, absolutely not. Subject's closed. Sorry.
Huh.
That's over.
Because the video was kind of impressive.
Very impressive, yes. It's designed to be so. Absolutely.
All right. All right, but
I call it mockery, but it's just an inside thing.
So you're claiming, though, you can do the real thing.
Absolutely. And we're going to do one better. We're going to make contact. And it's not in America. It's in South America. And it has to do with the secret of Fatima. Anyone who's ever remote viewed Fatima, they'll tell you the same thing.
Do you know what the third secret was?
Absolutely. And I know every aspect of that secret. It's part of...
Proceed.
The Hopi, by the way, know it too.
Okay. What is it?
Yeah, this goes back to the time of, and forgive me for not saying the name correctly, Quetzalcoatl.
Okay.
It goes back to the legend of Quetzalcoatl, the story, the mythology surrounding this whole idea, the plumed serpent. Now, the story of these people were told to wait in the four corners where they're waiting now, to wait for the return of the Pahana. If you know, Pahana means, something not good. Whereas Pahana means a lost white brother. It's similar to that. The Hopi language in Third Mesa, very few people know it. I was trained by Two Horned Priest, who took me to Third Mesa. I observed a kachina dance, a blue kachina dance, where the elder dropped his mask. All of the prophetic aspects of this story were fulfilled. I kicked an old shoe.
All great.
I broke a pot, the whole thing. Right?
What is the third secret of Fatima that there's going to be contact?
This is very important. This leads up to the third secret of Fatima.
Right.
If I just say this, people are going to think, of course. Yeah,
well, they
sure,
may already be thinking that anyway, so don't worry.
I agree. These little aspects are very, very important because they're all clues.
All right.
You have to think of life as being this mixed-up puzzle box, and you have all these clues, and you put this piece together here and there, and they add up to something grand. So these are little pieces of a grand clue about where we come from, what we need to do, why we're here. Now, Quetzalcoatl told his people to travel and to stay and live in this Four Corners area and to live from the earth as it is dry, as it would be in the future, to teach mankind how to survive in a hostile land, and that they had to connect with the earth to grow blue corn. If they didn't connect with the earth, they would die. Now, I tell you, the life of a Hopi in Third Mesa is rather miraculous. They're very magical and spiritual people, even to this day, even though they're now driving cars and stuff, eating meat. But I can tell you that there's still some spirituality there, and what they know about Fatima would shock you. They're not going to tell archaeologists this because they don't trust the archaeologists. All the people writing books about the Hopi, The Hopi are jokesters. They pulled pranks on all these archaeologists. How do I know? I spoke with the Hopi. I was with the Two Horned Priest for a long time. And he told me things I had no idea he knew about South America, about alien contact, about Quetzalcoatl, and the story by which the Pahana would be there and prove who he was. Let's take you back real quick. My very first session with Ed Dames, way back in SciTech, years ago. SciTech isn't anymore.
Right.
Someone else, that's not Ed's stuff anymore. It's just, now it's Goofy.
Right.
So now I'm sitting there, and what has happened is I'm given a blind target. What is it? The missing Fire Clan tablet. Now, in the old days, Ed was right on spiritually. He was working for Lucifer. We all work for the entity. Some of us know it. Some of us turn our back on it. Some of us don't know it. Those who don't are pawns. Ed's working for the entity, and he simply has turned his back on it.
Well, I bet there's a lot of Christians out there that would agree with you. They think the whole thing is rather Luciferian-like.
You bet it is. It was Lucifer that gave us remote viewing in the first place. This is an occult activity. This is a way to reach right into the dark side. And let me tell you, because of physics, we're going to begin to see proof that magicians such as myself, we are really obtaining results. I have movies of demons that I've brought out and communicated with. You have one such clip from a movie on my website.
I've taken a look at the pictures on the website, and I've got to say I'm a little unimpressed. They're kind of pixelated and hard. Yeah. You know, they're hard to see.
Right. The reason why I chose that particular demon, because of its morphology, it matches identically to that of a locust-like being that's mentioned in the book of Revelations, citing the end of our days. I say that we've destroyed our planet, that we're reaching it. We've already reached that breaking point, and we're dying. We're on a dying planet. We need to make contact. We're
that
in trouble ecologically.
Yeah.
It's over.
Maybe.
That's why I have that particular demon there, because for the Christians in this country, they can relate to that, because that shows that's a road sign. We're at the end. It's one of these locust beings. Now, I know what that demon is. I know what it signifies. I know everything about that entity because years ago I brought it forth in a temple to prepare for not only this day, but for the days to come. We are literally living in the book of Revelations. We're living at the end.
All right. And so the third secret.
The third secret is about contact with a human progenitor. And the third secret, the reason why people were so horrified by this, is because when they learned that this entity was the one we all feared, the father of the human race, was actually the one we thought was evil. We thought that the father of the human race was something light and beautiful and angelic.
My God, you're telling me the
third... Lucifer.
Wow.
We are the sons and daughters of Lucifer, and that's what we find out at Fatima. And that's what the Holy Father, they're keeping this a secret.
Well, that certainly would account for the secrecy, wouldn't it?
And by the way, that's not the former Pope that's being shot in that. That's a genetic key. That's a genetically manipulated human being who was brought here to bring about contact. Fatima is contact with a human progenitor in South America. And we kill him. We try to assassinate him. And without him, contact does not happen because we have one chance in life. This is our one chance to make contact.
I know,
this is
I know.
The son of Lucifer.
I know that in remote viewing, and I assume Pan, timelines are difficult. So if you're telling me the third secret is that Lucifer is our father,
that's right,
and that contact with him will be made and it will occur in South America and we'll try to kill him, roughly when do you believe this is going to occur?
That depends on, here's the timeline here that we have. The time machine that we built, the seat of the third Antichrist, the seat of this new man, the Hominovus, the new man, is here in the United States. It's been decided that the United States will be the place where a single world government, by the way, I'm pro-government. I love government. I think the United States government is going the right direction. We're actually tearing up the one thing in the way of a one-world government, and that's our Constitution.
Uh-huh.
We're giving it up willy-nilly. We're just letting it go.
We do appear to be, yeah.
Yes, and this is a good thing, because, and then we have this other problem with communism.
So you welcome communism's fading fast. You welcome a one-world government with open arms, huh?
You bet. I have been a one-worlder all my life. I believe in it. I believe in a global village. The whole, all this language is all leading us into a new way of living, and it's wonderful. We've got to allocate dwindling resources, or we're going to go extinct. We're going to kill each other off. It's our only chance.
Yes, well.
And the thing that will make this happen is the time machine. The time machine is going to be given to the U.S. government, and it will be protected by nuclear weapons.
It's going to be... Well, you have the plans for it, or did I just hear you say a moment ago that you have... built it.
There are both plans. A prototype right now is being explored. There are two plans. One involves human DNA and a light switching mechanism. And you have, you also have a neural net using computer systems. And they're set in separate areas all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
And they can be all over the United States as well. Right now, we have people working on the NeuroNet. There's a problem with technology. It's being developed as I'm talking to you now. And by the way, I'm funding right now. This is coming out of my pocket. I'm funding research into two areas. One, this light switching mechanism, which is a photonics problem. Photonics experts are dealing, and nanotechnologists, this is their problem. These are the engineers. These are the people who specialize in areas that will help make this happen quickly. We have the technology right now, today, to make it happen. What we do is we take human DNA and we use a light switching mechanism. Now, this is so efficient. What we're doing is we're measuring the difference when these samples of genetic material match resonance with one another in different locations.
Yes.
We can measure the difference by stimulating them in, and I'm not going to give the secret out here on air. I can't do it. Won't do it. But there's a way to stimulate this.
All right. Are you saying this is going to allow for actual physical transportation into the past or the future, or what?
Okay. We are designed to look at only historical systems of information. So in order to see a past, we have to create probabilities. There we're into an area called psychokinesis. And I understand how psychokinesis works now. I've recently discovered it. Proof, look, for 10 days in a row, I manipulated the numbers in the Japanese lottery. Now, everyone knows there's no way I could be there and doing this.
You're just not saying you perceived the numbers. You're saying you manipulated them. That's remote influence.
We create the reality by understanding these probabilities and by exercising a specific region of the brain, which I have mapped out by years ago remote viewing it, and I know the brain's anatomy and been interested in it all my life.
Boy, if you think you'd be killed just for getting the lottery numbers, if you actually manipulated them and you did remote influence, you're really a dead man.
But we all manipulate our future. We all create our own future. It's just knowing how we do it can make all the difference, because then you can find stability.
Okay, again, we're on break. Are you actually talking about physical transportation into the past?
I'm talking about information systems of information. You will never be able to take your body. We're not smart enough to create the technology to travel physically in the past.
All right.